We just signed a contract. We just signed a contract. We just signed a contract. I wonder who it's from.
No ideas. Probably not that con that we've been talking about signing a contract with forever.
I mean, it couldn't possibly be that con, that convention that we've been waiting forever for to sign a contract.
Is that song gonna have to go and cosplay the musical too?
I feel like, especially with our adventures and contracts from this year, it definitely should.
Oh, good.
So, hello, everyone. Welcome to Shit Cosplayers Say.
Welcome back.
We did, in effect, sign our contract with Anime Iowa. So we will be doing Shit Cosplayers Say live at Anime Iowa. And we will be doing the 10-minute skit live at Anime Iowa 2020.
As you should.
As we should.
Just remember, Anime Iowa, you asked for this.
That is accurate. This is not our fault.
I'm really excited.
Me too. I can't wait to get back and do the thing.
Yes. Summer, why are you so far away?
No, right? Well, and I mean, it has been nice to see some of these online conventions popping up during this time.
Yeah, it's kind of fun. I've seen several of them pop up, and they all typically have a little bit of a different spin to them, so they're not just more of the same, which is really nice. So they all kind of have a different, I think, focus. And you can kind of tell what the focus is by who organize the event. You can tell that the cosplay related online cons are a little bit more cosplay focused or run by cosplayers. The ones that are more vendor and artist focused are organized by vendors and artists. So, and the people that just are really itching for the panel programming are people that utilize that in their regular con experience. So that's kind of fun, just seeing a little bit of everything.
I mean, it is unfortunate that because we are both still working, we haven't been able to participate in any of these online conventions.
Nope, I still get to go to work every day at my place of employment.
I get to go to work every day from home, which is not as nice as you may think it sounds. And the challenge is, and I don't obviously like to say a lot of direct information about what I do for the protection of my clients, but occupational therapy is a very hands-on visual type profession. And now we are trying to do our work without those visual mediums and working with people who aren't used to us calling them outside of the facility I work for. So it's just been a really big challenge to get all of that organized and follow the state requirements that we have to follow. So I have not touched cosplay since this whole thing began.
No, I think I've thought about buying fabric, and that's pretty much the extent of me thinking about anything sewing or crafting related, including cosplay at the moment.
I put some beads on Judar. I think that's about as far as I got.
There you go. Baby steps.
It's something. I mean, I got Animal Crossing, so I get to join all of you in the Animal Crossing craze now. I'm still working on my island. My island's name is Ombradad because we used a random name generator and that was the best one. So,
okay then.
So, I live on Ombradad Island in Animal Crossing.
Oh, good.
I have not yet signed up for Nintendo Online, but at some point I will so I can come and visit people's islands. But I've never played Animal Crossing before, so I'm still kind of figuring out how this weird game works. It's a very strange game. I mean, I love Harvest Moon, so I'm sure I will get into it as we go.
I do love me some Harvest Moon.
It's very Harvest Moon-ish.
At the moment, I'm replaying one of my Final Fantasy games, so that's fun.
Waiting for 7 to come out.
Waiting for 7 to come out. Well, and I'm torn because I was specifically waiting for the Final Fantasy VII remake to buy a PlayStation 4 because I don't have one. And I'm like, But I just know that they're going to come out with a special edition one just for FF7 Remake. And I actually haven't seen any advertisements for that, which makes me extra sad. But on the same token, I know that the PS5 is supposed to be backwards compatible all the way back. And I'm like, ugh, but PS5, but it's so far away. So I don't know. But I don't have a PS4 right now. So even when the remake comes out, like, next week, I'm going to have to go get a console. But some would argue that going shopping for a video game console is a non-essential purchase and probably shouldn't be made during this time period.
I did curbside pickup at Best Buy to get Animal Crossing.
That's fair.
It literally took 5 minutes. It was the smoothest, most organized process I think I've ever been involved in.
I had to do curbside pickup with my dog the other day.
Oh, I had to do that with my cat because I took her to get her teeth cleaned and they came to my car and got her out of the car and then they brought her to my car afterward.
That was a really similar experience. I took my dog to the vet. They came and got her. They took her inside. They called me to make all the arrangements, ask some questions, take my payment, and then brought her back with a little goodie bag to the vehicle. But I'm 99.9% sure they forgot to give me my rabies tag.
Oops. You know how you get, like, the little kit after you go to the dentist with, like, the toothbrush and the toothpaste and stuff?
Yes.
My cat got one.
Oh, Anya got one, too. They gave her these really, really expensive dental chews, but they make her mouth smell minty fresh.
Oh, really? That's probably good for your dog. Her breath smells pretty bad.
She really likes, well, most dogs, she really likes to get up in your face.
She does.
And she wants to stick her tongue in your mouth, which is just the most disgusting thing ever. But I love her, so I don't fault her for it.
Well, no, she's super cute. I will also let her do it, but, you know.
But not right now, because social distancing.
Oh, right, we have to social distance with the dog.
Sorry, you can't French kiss my dog at the moment. Six feet at all times.
Our separation anxiety is going to get worse than it ever has before, because in our area, this has been extended for at least 5 more weeks, but we're thinking it's going to be longer. So this will definitely be the longest we have ever gone without physically seeing each other.
That is accurate. It will be the longest period. So strange.
It's crazy.
Kind of weird to think about, but I mean, we'll survive. And now I really just want to break into song, but I won't.
I will survive.
Oh, as long as I know how to love, I know I'll stay alive.
Yes.
Yep. Yep. That's pretty much my entire day at work. Somebody will say like a random quote, and then depending on who's in the room, at least one other person will start just reciting song lyrics. And you can tell who gets it and who's just totally done with our shit, because some people will then continue it around the room and other people will go, just kind of to say, why are you guys like this? And why are you in our office? Please leave.
That's because our lives are a musical.
It's true.
I mean, you gotta find the joy when you're in weird situations like we all are now.
Oh, I totally wore my essential employee shirt to work the other day.
That's amazing.
I know. Well, and coincidentally, it was the same day that they handed out PPE for us to wear. And inadvertently, I had coordinated without knowing, because the color of my shirt is blue, and I was wearing a white overlay with dress slacks and boots just to kind of dress it up a little bit. And they gave us white masks and blue gloves, so I was definitely coordinated from head to toe in my essential employee shirt. I found great joy in it, and so did everyone else.
That is amazing.
I thought so.
But, like, those small joys are what you have to hold on to in all of this crazy. We actually went back and changed our entire episode lineup to try to bring you guys more heartwarming and uplifting content as we go through kind of this crazy, stressful time.
Yeah, because there is too much stress and too much negative in this world right now. We have to find some joy and humor somewhere. And if you can find it here with us, then we're happy to provide it for you.
So we are hoping to spread the joy, but we are gonna need your guys' help with that a little bit. I'm sure we're not the only ones who have started taking social media breaks, particularly from Facebook, because I know I personally can't handle the inundation of just all of the news and all of the media, particularly that comes through Facebook. And I know a lot of other people are taking social media breaks too. The downside for podcasts is that's how we primarily advertise the existence of our shows. So when people are taking massive social media breaks, they don't see your podcast. So it would be awesome if you guys could subscribe to the podcast so that it automatically downloads for you every week. It'd also be great if you can tell your friends about it and kind of share the knowledge of our silly little podcast that is here to kind of just give you guys some entertainment. But it would really help us as we're in this kind of struggle right now with podcasts as a whole kind of getting, kind of starting to fall into this almost freeze mode. Because people listen to podcasts commuting to work while they're working, doing all these things. And all of that has changed so much that a lot of people aren't listening anymore. So if you guys could help us out, we would really appreciate it. And we will try to bring you some joy in response. Like today's episode, which is all about kids and cosplay.
Yep, if this doesn't give you the warm and fuzzies, I don't know what will.
We are going for that wholesome content, people. So I'm sure that a lot of you have had run-ins with children and cosplay, whether you're the one in cosplay, the kid's the one in cosplay, or both of you. And I, as I mentioned in our C2E2 episode, am a complete sucker for kids.
It's true.
It's just, I can't help it. If there is a kiddo, I am going to play into it because kids just, they are still at that ability where like all of the imagination and the play is still very real to them.
Yes.
And that ability to play with that, it's just so much fun. And as a theater person, like we don't lose that like a lot of adults do. And so I love to encourage that in children because it's such an important thing to hold on to. But as we know, a lot of adults, they kind of lose that sense of play as they get older. Not cosplayers necessarily, because cosplay is kind of part of that retaining that play.
And I will say the one thing, especially with dealing with small children in cosplay, like Elle said, they still have that imagination and they hold on to that magic a lot longer. So there's no kind of suspension of disbelief for them. You could potentially be in that person's eyes, Santa Claus, for example, or they might be scared of you if you're dressed as a villain, or if you're a Disney princess, they might find you to be their new best friend. I know that especially Disney characters will get a lot of the kiddo interactions just because they're so well known. So princesses and Jack Sparrow are typically the ones that I see the most. Superheroes in general, especially if you're more mainstream, like your DC and Marvel characters, are going to get a lot of love from the kiddos, and not necessarily even just people that are attending events that you might be at, but also just who happen to be in the proximity. You'll get a lot of love. We've gotten love while we were walking to a food court before, so I mean, it's out there, and they see you as real for what you are, so try to remember that in your interactions with them, because it's important to them that you are who they think that you are.
So whenever we interact with the kiddos, we try to keep that illusion as active as we can, because we know that, you know, it's important to the kids. I mean, that's why, like, when we were at C2E2, even though I had no voice, I still did my Harley voice, and I still acted like Harley with the little Harley, because I didn't want to break that illusion and that sense of reality for her. And the joy on her face was worth every minute of effort that I had to put in to do that. And that's really like what it is, guys, is, you know, if you can maintain a little bit of that play and that illusion, you're going to bring so much joy to a child.
I think that my absolute favorite thing when we are at a con is when we are dressed as Miraculous and we see those like 3 to 5 year olds Like, it just makes my heart melt. And especially if their parents haven't noticed, it almost makes it better because you'll get the kid that's, like, looking and, like, tugging on dad's shirt and just kind of, like, staring at you. And you get down on their level with them on the floor and talk to them. And it's just the coolest thing since sliced bread for them. And they just, like, stare at you with all this awe and wonder.
Do you remember the sisters when we first did Miraculous?
Oh, the first time we did Miraculous? The first time we did Miraculous, I was dressed as Marinette Dupin Cheng, who is the secret identity of Ladybug. But I was walking around with Elle as her partner, Cat Noir. And yes, there were these super cute little girls in the lobby of the hotel that we were staying at. And they just ate it all up.
Well, because it was their mom that brought them over to talk to me, right? Because they wanted to talk to me, but, like, they were afraid to, like, come over.
Yes, and Elle was hamming it up big time, calling them princesses, as you do.
Obviously.
But then, of course, my absolute favorite part after that is kind of, like, across the way near the elevator, a Ladybug cosplayer walks by, and Mom goes, "Oh, look, honey, it's Ladybug." And the youngest got this disgusted look on her face and just got mad and then looked at the Ladybug and then looked at Mom and then looked at me and then looked at Ella's Cat Noir and just shook her head like, nope, that's not Ladybug. Obviously, this is Ladybug.
That might be one of my favorite interactions of all time.
That's probably one of my favorite interactions of all time, other than when we were dressed as superheroes with LaRiri and the little kids wanted to come and give us hugs.
Oh, yes.
That also just gives me the, like, wait, absolutely, you're going to make me cry, but I will definitely give you a hug and be your best friend.
They always want the hugs. I remember back, like, throw it way back, like, 10 plus years ago, at least 10 plus years ago, if not further, I was dressed as Rinoa. I think I may have been at ASEN. And I had a tiny squall come up to me and want to, like, take pictures with me and talk to me. And he had to be, like, 7.
That is the most precious.
And his costume was really good. I do remember that. He had, like, the little sword and everything. He was the cutest thing I've ever seen. But all he wanted was to take pictures with me. He was so excited to find a Rinoa to take pictures with.
That's adorable.
It's so cute.
It reminds me of that scene in Robin Hood with the little bunny that is pretending to be Robin Hood. And then they actually accidentally, like, run into Maid Marian.
Yes.
And then they play pretend.
Yes. So wholesome.
Yep. It gives my heart joy.
I know. They're just so darn cute.
Well, and even now, like, whenever I play Mama Midoriya and the little My Hero cosplayers, like, come up and I just mom them and they just eat it. They just eat it out of the palm of my hand because they're so into it.
We just send Ash around to mom everyone when she's dressed as Inko because it's very, very appropriate.
It's totally required. I love momming them anyway because I am also a con mom and they love it.
It's very cute. I also remember the time that I got off the elevator dressed as Adrian and passed two, like, 7, 8-year-old girls with their jaws dropped.
That's because Adrian is dreamy.
Well, and then they turned to their dad and they were like, "It's Adrian." And so I had to stop and ask them where Marinette was because I couldn't find Marinette. And they said nothing. Like, these two little girls are just sitting there, like, slack-jawed, and they both just, like, shrug. And I'm like, "Well, if you see her, let me know, okay?" And they just kind of nod at me, and then I kept walking.
They were starstruck.
I know, because it was
You're
Adrian.
A famous model.
Adrian, the fragrance.
Adrian. We still need to do that photo shoot.
Please?
Adrian, the fragrance photo shoot.
I think we just need to do all of the Adrian photo shoots so that eventually we can do a troublemaker photo shoot of, like, me in my room with all of your fashion posters on the wall.
Can we please make that happen?
I think we should.
I need that in my life.
Because that just sounds like a good time.
Which photographer is going to volunteer for this? Because we need this in our lives, guys.
I feel we're going to probably need several if we're going to do a bunch of fashion shoots
first. That's true. So if you want to do Miraculous Adrian fashion shoots, let us know. Because
please.
I feel like we need to have this in our lives.
I think it sounds like a great plan.
I think it's absolutely necessary. So this is actually our first episode where we have multiple listener submissions.
You didn't even have to wait until after episode 10.
No. Nope.
Surprise.
We were originally going to try to hold out on some of these listener episodes and things, but we felt like this topic was more than appropriate for right now. Bring some of that wholesome goodness to all of you. So we have 4 listener stories that we're going to talk about today that were very kindly submitted by a few different people. If you want to submit your own listener story, you can either email it to us at podcastscs@gmail.com or you can DM us on social media. Because I've actually figured out how to copy and paste from Instagram. So it's not nearly as difficult for me to organize things as I once thought. So if social media is easier for you, feel free to send us things there. I am currently trying to collect some stories or crazy questions in relationship to cosplay dye jobs gone wrong. So,
oh, goodness.
If you have a story or have heard a story about cosplay dye jobs gone wrong, you can email us or DM us that content, and we will be more than happy to take it. We are also trying to collect more listener stories in relationship to pets. So if you've got a fun pet story, send us our way.
I also think with everything that's going on right now, it would be fun if you guys want to send us some of the stuff that you've seen your local communities doing in response to the crisis that we're currently in as a globe. Because I've seen a lot of good coming out of the cosplay community right now, whether it be donations or education or hosting online events because physical events have been canceled. If you guys want to send that in, I would love to hear what people are doing in your neck of the woods because it just... it's really great to see how everybody is kind of coming together and becoming more close-knit as a community than I think that we have been in a while. They always say that a crisis will show you both the best and the worst of the people around you. And I think that we're definitely seeing a lot of great come out of the cosplay community as a whole right now.
Well, speaking of greatness, let's get on with this wholesome content.
Alrighty. And we will be sure to go ahead and link as appropriate on our Instagram post for this episode for these people. Big and super shout out to you for sharing your lovely stories with us. But let's move on to story number one. So story number one comes from Jinx Cylion. Once I was dressed as Madoka, I had a little girl come up to me and say, "You are the prettiest princess I've ever seen." She made her mom bow to me, then gave me half of an eaten French fry. It's the only time I've been excited to receive soggy food. That is precious. And the fact that she made her mom bow just makes it even better.
There's a thing with kids, they always try to share their food with you.
Oh, yes.
Like, that's...
absolutely.
That's just a thing with children in general, particularly young children. If they like you, they always try to share their food with you.
The first time that I met one of my very, very close friends' sons, he came up to me and he was 1.5. And he told me, "You're my best friend." And then tried to give me his half-eaten sucker. And it was like, "You can keep it, but you're my best friend too."
Well, and I think it's just, you know, they like the food, so they want to share it with you. It's like their way of saying, "Well, I like you too."
Yep, and if you're listening to the story, I did just totally tell that over the internet for everyone to hear, and I still love you, so there. And you can still keep your sucker, because I don't want it.
But they wanted you to have it.
Yep. He got to keep it. I think he ended up throwing it away.
Probably.
But that's okay. That was a long time ago.
Well, and it's kind of like, well, it's always interesting to see like how the parents react to.
Well, and I appreciate it whenever the parents kind of get behind it. Like, mom obviously gave in and bowed, because I know parents that wouldn't do that. They would just kind of dismiss it, and it makes me sad. But then we have the flip side of the spectrum, where your little Harley that we had at C2E2, her parents were totally into it and also dressed as Batman villains.
I still have interactions with mom on Instagram.
Good.
We're hoping that at some point we all go to the same con again so we can be reunited. Because I guess she still talks about me.
That's precious, and I love
it. And she likes to look through mom's phone and see the photos from C2E2.
Oh, the ones that we took of the two of you?
Uh-huh.
That's super cute.
So
I like it.
Wholesome. I can't handle it.
Yeah. If mom ever reaches out and says that we're going to the same con, we'll have to make sure that you take Harley with you to that one.
Absolutely. I will do that in a heartbeat.
It'll be a necessity. We'll find time, even if there isn't time.
Right?
Even if we have to get up at stupid early in the morning and, like, accidentally run into them, like, at breakfast.
It could happen. I mean,
Speaking
of parent reactions, we actually have another story from Jinx Sileon. Their partner had a really interesting interaction with a child at a convention. My partner cosplays Slender Man and uses stilts to get extra height. A lot of people love his costume, but especially kids. My favorite instance was when a kid wanted to take pictures with him, but his mom didn't want him to get anywhere near. She was terrified. Finally, my partner had to take off his mask and smile at her before she'd let the kid take a picture, and we just couldn't stop laughing.
Oh, goodness.
Kids have sometimes the funniest reactions to quote-unquote scary costumes that I have ever seen. And this is a great example.
If they've never been socially conditioned to think that these things are scary, then they're just, you've got a larger-than-life person that's really, really tall, and that's really interesting and exciting. But if they've never been taught to be afraid of any of those types of costume elements that he happened to be wearing at the time, then it's not scary. It's just another person in a costume at a con.
Well, it was like, again, probably 18 years ago, probably, when I did Vampire Hunter D.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we're going to throw it way back. So,
2003.
I'll post a photo of this costume. This was a costume from forever ago that a friend of mine actually made for me, because this was before I knew how to make anything. But once upon a time, we did a 21-person Vampire Hunter D group at ASEN. We'll talk about what happened with that at another time. But I had the opportunity to play the vampire Countess Carmilla, and I had a lot of, like, back-and-forth interactions with a lot of people, but I distinctly remember this mom and this little girl. She was probably, like, maybe between 1 and 2 years old, and all she wanted to do was, like, come over by me. Like, she just kept, like, you know how the little kids, they do the, like, grabby hands thing?
Yes.
Like, she's doing grabby hands at me, and mom's just kind of like, what?
Well, to be fair, you're in this huge red velveteen dress with lots of shiny bits on it.
Yes.
So you are shiny and you are full of texture that just makes people want to reach out and touch. So I totally get the grabby hands.
You would think, though, that, like, the little ones would be afraid of this costume, but, like, this itty bitty wanted everything to do with being somewhere by me during this
but
time.
But not if they've never been conditioned to be afraid of your type of costume.
But it was one of those where, like, when you're dressed in a costume like that, you don't necessarily expect interactions with children.
Right.
Because you are conditioned to understand that this is supposed to be a scary costume.
Yes. That's cute, though.
It was really cute.
The one thing I will like, that I will say that I like about being a masquerade judge is that I get to have grabby hands, and now I get to touch things.
We have a bad habit. Like, if you ever come and meet us and you're, like, in a handmade costume, there's a very good chance that we're going to ask permission to check out the details on your costume because we just don't know how to not do it.
I love visual and physical texture. I am a sucker for it. So I will definitely ask you if I can touch your costume. And you can say no, it's okay.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, that goes in general, like, even if you're in judging, if you're not comfortable with someone touching you, like, you can flip your seams for them and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, we might ask you to do specific things so we can still check all the places we need, but if you don't physically want us to touch you, but that's really cute. I enjoy that. I can definitely see the grabby hands. Well, and you have to think, though, especially depending on how old she was, most of the characters that she's probably used to that wear dresses of that shape are probably princesses.
And she does kind of look like a giant red princess gown, if you don't know any better.
Right, if you get rid of the evilness and the sharp teeth and the pointy...
sharp, pointy teeth.
Yep, if you get rid of the pointy bits, then... I could see how once upon a time people would think that.
I just see this visual, though, of this guy, like, 7-8 foot tall on stilts and this teeny, teeny, tiny child just staring up at them with a parent, like, standing behind this kid being like, oh my god.
It's like Monsters, Inc.
It is. It is. Monsters, Inc. is a great example how, like, if the parents were to see that, like, the monsters, they would freak out, but all the kids are just like, oh, hey, cool.
I know, Boo's just like, kitty. And Sully's like,
well, because she doesn't know to be afraid of him.
She doesn't know to be afraid of him. And then Sully gets the warm and fuzzies and wants to protect her with all his heart. That's me. I'm Sully.
I love that movie.
Story number 3. And I will attempt to say the screen name, and I apologize profusely if I butcher it. But it is... Floritatan? We're gonna hope that I got one of those. I got a 50-50 shot. Or not. We'll find out. But we'll put links in the comments, like we said. So this happened a few years ago at a con, but it's still one of my favorite cosplay memories. I was cosplaying as Marita Posada from The Book of Life, which isn't very well known, but kids and adults usually get really excited if they've seen it. I was stopped by this family that was pulling their little one around in a wagon, and the moment they saw me, the little one was standing up and wanting out of the wagon. Their parents told me that Book of Life was their favorite movie, and they were so excited to see me. We talked and twirled together for a bit before their parents reminded them of something. They walked over to the wagon to bring something over to show me. For context, Maria Posada has a pet pig named Chewy, and I was carrying a prop pig around that day. The kid pulled out a stuffed pig and brought it over to me because we matched and wanted my pig to meet hers. I held them together until they left, but I almost broke down crying over how cute it was. That is precious.
So cute.
That is wholesome. And yeah, they want to share everything with you. Harley wanted to be Elle's best friend forever and go jump on the trampoline.
And she wanted me to come to her house to play.
To play. And that's just, I love the magic. That's super sweet.
Well, and there's a joy, regardless of age, when you're wearing a less known character's cosplay and somebody recognizes you.
That's one of my favorite things about Urd and Skuld, honestly, is it's such an old anime at this point, and they're minor characters, but whenever somebody goes, oh my god, it's Oh My Goddess, then... It makes me happy. And especially when we run into other Oh My Goddess cosplayers, it's like, you're my people.
So Oh My Goddess is about three sisters who are goddesses. So they're past, present, and future. And the middle sister, Belle Dandy, ends up getting into a situation where she basically is almost indebted to this young man named Keiichi. To not give away the whole story. But her younger sister Skuld and her older sister Erd are probably two characters that are absolute favorites to play. They are extreme opposites. So, like, Erd is very flirty, very kind of avant-garde, doesn't really care what other people think. She's kind of just going to do her own thing. And then you have Skuld.
And Skuld is the youngest, and she's actually very mature in some ways for her age as far as intellect go and seriousness, but she is still a kid, so she does still tend to overreact at certain things and doesn't necessarily think things all the way from start to finish before she says or does something. But they're complete opposites, and they're super fun to play against each other. And typically, if you see another cosplayer, it's probably going to be Bill Dandy, so that just makes it even better because then we have all three of us together. But it's a really good series. It actually originally ran for 26 years, a publication in print for manga, so it's been around for a really long time. And I want to say they just ended it maybe 5 or 6 years ago, finally, the manga run, but it's a good one, so I definitely recommend reading it or watching it if you get the chance.
I miss them. I think we need to bring them back.
I know. I need to make a new Skuld outfit, and I probably want to make the first one that I did over again out of better materials and, you know, my current size.
Yeah, I haven't decided what Erd outfit I want to make, if I want to make the blue dress again or if I want to do the purple one, but the blue dress sounds a lot more comfortable.
Could be.
Because she's got this blue dress that's kind of like a wrap dress, but then she has this purple, like, gown. And since it's completely open in the front, it's not the most comfortable costume to have to wear because you'll have to build, like, a corset structure to keep it in place. And where the other dress is just kind of a wrap dress and seems a lot more comfy. So
I imagine that if we were to do the one with the deep plunge, we'd probably make it a lot like we made Beryl.
Oh, I was absolutely intending it to make it exactly like we did Beryl and make it in two pieces and the whole nine yards. But there is kind of that extra fun when your costume matches the kid's costume, too.
Yes.
When you're, like, the exact same person.
Yes.
Because kids get really excited when they see someone else dressed as their favorite character that they're dressed as, unlike some adults.
Yeah, I don't understand that with adults. Adults are weird.
Yeah, I don't really understand the whole, like, people getting upset when they see someone else dressed as the same character. Like, my reaction would be like the little girls in this story, where I would be super excited to see somebody else dressed as my character that I'm cosplaying as.
Right, because I love this costume and I love this character so much that I wanted to cosplay as them. And then obviously you have your own reasons, which might be that this is also your favorite character that you're cosplaying as, and we have that in common and we share this joy together. But yeah, sometimes you'll get adults that are a little weird about it and they're just like territorial and get kind of pissy, which makes me sad. And I don't know if it's insecurities because they're worried about somebody else being quote unquote better, but this is cosplay. There are no points in hall cosplay.
The emotional energy, like, if I got upset every time I saw another Deku cosplayer, like, I
would, never stop being upset.
I would be so exhausted. And I have...
You would be Eeyore.
Yes, I would be Eeyore. Well, and I have unfortunately had interactions with some younger Deku cosplayers where they're like, oh, your Deku is so good and mine's not. And, like, I've had to tell them, like, no, yours is good too. Like, just because they're different doesn't mean that one's better than the other one.
Yes.
And I think that's the hard thing for some people, is just because they're different, it doesn't mean that one is automatically better. It's just their different takes on the character, and there's nothing
wrong
with
that.
It just
means that they're different. Yeah.
Yeah. But boy, I would be exhausted. If I had to put out that much emotional energy and that much, like, anger, like, it's not worth it. I'd rather just get really excited every time I see another Deku cosplayer, but then I also can't stop laughing every time a Deku cosplayer sees Mama Midoriya.
That's because she is mom.
They get so excited about their mom. Or like that one time at ColossalCon where you took the photo with the All Might.
Oh, that's like my favorite picture.
We'll post that too.
we ran into Small Mite in his suit, and he was, like, spot on. And I was like, oh, I'm like, I need a picture with All Might. And he goes, oh, it's my family. So I have a cute knee-popping picture from us posing together.
I don't think we ever got his, like, social media, so... Small Mite, if you see this photo and it's you, please let us know.
Please.
Please. We would love to credit you, but we don't know who you were, but you were amazing.
Yes. My favorite All Might ever, by far. And yes, that's like one of my favorite photos that we have.
It's so cute.
It's so cute.
Much wholesome content.
Yes.
But I mean, that's really what Inko and Deku are in a nutshell, are wholesome content.
Hashtag wholesome content.
Pretty much. I mean, we have an entire photo shoot of wholesome content with them.
Yeah, we did a Deku getting ready for prom photo shoot.
We did.
It was super sweet.
We did a 1950s inspired Deku and mom photo shoot. So I'm in my full green suit and mom's in like a 1950s dress and it's super cute.
It's extra precious.
Those are all on our Lavi cosplay Instagram if you want to bop over and see them. But we actually use the one photo pretty exclusively for our, like, PR stuff now.
Yeah, it's really cute. We took it in this bowling alley. And it's me sitting with my skirt fan and Deku behind me. It's precious. You'll have to go check it out.
So we have one more wholesome story for today. And it is actually from a gentleman that we've run into multiple times at different conventions. So shout out to Andrew. His Twitter is Space and Chai Town. So Andrew, we've actually had a lot of interaction with at conventions in Illinois. And Andrew always does a really amazing job at being in character. And he is particularly known for playing No Face. So Andrew does an amazing job in embodying the movements and the feel of No Face. Andrew is also an amazing singer, by the way. So one time when we were judging, he actually sang as No Face. Do you remember what song he sang? I don't remember.
No, but I remember how it made me feel.
Right.
And we all got like goosebumps and chills. And by the end of the song, the entire masquerade audience had their lights on their phones on and were swaying them back and forth, like just like you would expect to see in a concert hall. And it was the coolest experience.
So we always really enjoy our interactions with Andrew. And he actually sent me the story of what started his process into becoming No Face. So how No Face went from like this costume he just kind of decided to try to like his main costume and the amount of effort that he has since put into this costume and this character. Because Andrew definitely tries to embody the character of No Face as well. So this is Andrew's story. I was at ASEN a few years back, and I was dressed as my first rendition of No Face. I was taking pictures in the main hallway outside of the vendor hall, and I felt something grab my leg. A child walked away from their parents and came to hug my leg. Apparently, she loved Spirited Away, and always felt bad for No Face because he couldn't talk. The best part is, she was also in a No-Face costume, so it was almost like a mini-me with a paper plate mask. Oh my gosh, can you see this kid with this paper plate on her face?
Yes.
As the No-Face mask? I had bought about 500 gold tokens to hand out to other congoers, so I gave her about 4 to 5 handfuls to her parents so she could do the same. After about 3 hours, I started getting tokens returned to me because they were getting coins from my daughter. This interaction is what motivated me to continue improving No Face, learning more movements and actions to make him more real, and bringing them to conventions for more people to see. The joy on this child's face was indescribable.
And that's what it's about, folks. Right there.
I can't handle it. My daughter!
That's super cute. I love it.
So, if you haven't seen Spirited Away, No Face...
Shame on
you. Yeah, first of all, yeah, shame on you. But No Face is kind of this, like, ghostly, almost spirit character. It's been a long time since I've watched it.
He's like a big, black, bulky... Oh, I mean, yeah, spirit-like character. But he has a mask instead of a face that you see for pretty much the whole thing. And he gives out gold coins to people. Although, gold coins are bad. You don't want them.
No, it's considered really bad luck to get gold coins from No Face, which is why people were getting them and then giving them back.
Right. Well, also, probably they didn't want to give them back to the kid. They're like, no, no, no. I don't want to break the child's heart by giving the coin back to her, but I can't keep this because it's bad luck.
Yes, you don't want to upset the child by giving the coins back to the child, but, like, you don't want to keep the coins because taking coins from No Face is bad luck. So.
Yeah, it is.
You want to give the coins back to No Face. And No Face is not a character you would think that a child would identify with either.
No.
But you can tell this child must have a very compassionate heart since she identified with No Face because he couldn't talk.
That's super sweet.
And it's just so cute. Like,
kids are wholesome.
And you know, you never know what characters kids are going to gravitate toward. I mean, I know that little Harley's mom was always like, I don't know why she likes all the villains, but she always wants to play all the villains. But, like, this story is by far one of the best examples of why that little bit of effort to have that fantasy and that interaction with the kids is so valuable to them.
Yes.
I mean, you may not think you're doing anything, but you are. I mean, you are giving these kids that fantasy and that, you know, special interaction that just allows them to continue that freedom in play and allows them to continue that imagination and have fun.
I like to call it the Christmas magic.
Yes, it is like Christmas magic. I mean, Andrew definitely gave this kiddo Christmas magic that day at ASUN.
Absolutely.
For sure.
And I think it's a super sweet story for that's why he decided that he wanted to go further with it. And I could say I feel the same. Our interactions of doing Miraculous have only made me want to do Miraculous more because I love the kiddo interactions with those characters.
Oh, yeah, because I definitely don't like wearing Chat's costume.
Oh, no. It's super uncomfortable, I'm sure.
It's hot. It's uncomfortable. I can only wear it for maybe about 30 minutes before I feel like I'm overheating. Because it's made of, like, inexpensive pleather. It doesn't breathe.
Nope.
So, like, it is just not a comfortable costume to wear. But I still love wearing it because I love the kid interaction. But that's also why we have a prom version of Ladybug and Chat Noir. Because when we know we're going to have to be in the costumes for longer than we can handle the suits, we can just wear those.
Yes, we've done that, and we've also just worn civilian clothes because they're also extra recognizable and the kids still like it.
Well, but that's also why we like Deku and Mom, too, is the interactions that we get with other people because of them.
Absolutely.
I mean, I don't even own Deku's hero outfit. I actually don't own any canon outfits for Deku. I have t-shirt.
You have t-shirt. I think the suit that we picked out for you is close to one of his outfits that he wears in some official art, but I've never actually seen him wear it animated.
That is funny, though, because I got that suit before that art came out. So
that is funny.
That was just a happy accident where my green suit with the red bow tie does match some official art. So yes, I guess technically that's an official Deku outfit, but I don't have, like, the gym uniform, and I don't have his hero uniform, and people still get really excited about the interactions. You have Mom's uniform, so to speak.
Her uniform. Her uniform of pink shirt plus jean skirt.
Yes.
Yes, I do.
I'm also sad, side note, that there's been no mom in this recent season of My Hero. Where's mom?
I am not caught up on it, so that makes me really sad to hear.
There's been no Inko so far, and it makes me upset.
I'll just have to play Uraraka, and then we can have other types of wholesome content, because they're awkward teenagers.
Yes, you need to go make her prom outfit, and then we can have wholesome content.
Cute photos.
Yes, we can take all the cute photos with Uraraka and Deku.
And I will make her mall outfits with a yellow shirt so that we can match with t-shirts.
Oh, there we go. T-shirt.
T-shirt. My shirt will not say t-shirt on
it. No,
his.
I still laugh every time he comes up in the anime and has the green shirt that says pajama shirt on it. Right, so we hope that this little bit of wholesome content brightened your week, lowered your stress, gave you some heartwarming good feelings.
And if you have any feel-good stories to share with us, please let us know. We would be happy to share them with the class.
Yes. We are looking for that heartwarming, wholesome content at the moment. But for now, I think that's going to be all for today.
Thank you so much for joining us, and we will totally see you next week. So, I've been Ashlyn.
I'm Elle.
We are Lovey Cosplay.
And this is Shit Cosplayers Say.
Wholesome Shit Cosplayers Say.
Wholesome content!
Wholesome content.
You've been listening to Shit Cosplayers Say, an LVC production. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at PodcastSCS. Our website is lavicosplay.com. Have a fun, crazy con or cosplay-related story, absurd cosplay question, or just something in general to share with us? Email us at podcastscs@gmail.com. Thank you for listening, and remember, just because you can, doesn't mean you should.